NPR has learned that more than 13,000 immigrants, mostly Chinese, may be at risk of being deported. These are people who were all granted asylum years ago, but the government is now scrutinizing their cases. Our co-host and Planet Money correspondent Elsa Chang has been reporting on this, and she's here to tell me more. Hey, Elsa.
Hey, Mary Louise.
So this all begins with a crackdown in 2012. What happened?
Yeah, it was called Operation Fiction Writer. Prosecutors went after lawyers and other people in Manhattan's Chinatown who were helping immigrants lie on their asylum applications. And back then, prosecutors were going after the asylum industry. But then I learned the government is now going after clients, thousands of them, and their families.
The asylum industry, you said?
Yeah. I mean, it's a legitimate business, and there's a whole ecosystem of lawyers, paralegals, interpreters who help people flee sometimes horrific circumstances. But, you know, there's also a darker side to that industry. And I want to tell you about one man. We're going to call him Lawrence.
Great. All right. Let's go meet him and hear your reporting.
When Lawrence left Jiangxi province for America in 2005, his plan was pretty simple.
I think I would become a millionaire.
Really? You thought you were going to become a millionaire?
I always quite have a lot of confidence in myself.
But Lawrence fell into some pretty miserable jobs for a while and then found himself working as a Chinese translator for a tiny law office. The place was run by a lawyer named Ken Giles. He stumbled into immigration law after seeing an ad in the New York Law Journal.
You know, I was thinking to myself, well, I don't know what kind of a lawyer I'm going to be, but if somebody wants to hire me to be a lawyer, that's the kind of lawyer I'm going to be. Yeah.
His office was near Chinatown, and by the time Lawrence met him, Giles says about 80% of his cases were asylum cases.
It's huge. Everybody I know that practices immigration law that has Chinese cases, it's mostly asylum.
But Lawrence says the office specialized not so much in asylum law as in asylum fraud.
The office manager would talk to the client about what kind of story they should make up, what kind of fake document they should provide, and she made up those stories.
What Lawrence wandered into was an underground network of professional story writers, coaches, and scammers who helped immigrants fake asylum claims. Now, before you can get asylum in the U.S., the government wants to hear a story from you. Not just any story, but a story about targeted persecution based on your race, your religion, political opinion, or some particular social group you belong to. Chinese immigrants have been the most successful at getting asylum, and that's partly because their stories check the targeted persecution box so neatly. Stories about abortions forced by China's family planning policy, or about the Chinese government punishing Christians. Lawrence learned how to write fake stories by checking all the right boxes.
Sometimes I justify in this way. I say, okay, I'm helping people. I'm helping those lower class Chinese people to get their status in the United States. What they want, just find a job here and work in the Chinese restaurant.
He estimates he wrote 500 to 600 fake stories over a couple years. I read some of them, and I have to say, the guy had a flair for drama.
I love this last line. I beseech the U.S. government to let us stay and not to send us back to the hell-like China.
I almost forget how laughable they are.
I read that story and it sounded so fake.
Because you're an outsider. For those asylum officers and immigration judge, they are buried by this kind of fake story every day. So they don't know what real story should be looking like.
In other words, to Lawrence, the asylum system was so drenched in lies, the truth just wasn't dramatic enough anymore. You almost had to lie, he says. But all of this would catch up to him in 2011 when two FBI agents approached him. And they told him, we have been tailing you for a year, and we know all about your asylum fraud. They said a big raid was coming, and Lawrence could either join his colleagues in prison or he could help the FBI. Lawrence says he felt like he had no choice. So he flipped. He became the star witness in what the FBI would call Operation Fiction Writer.
What was your code name?
Called Torque.
What?
T-O-R-Q-U-E.
Torque? Your code name was Torque?
Yeah.
torque, as in the force that turns something. Lawrence became the FBI's torque. He turned their entire investigation around. He detailed every step of the fraud, from the story writing to interview coaching. And he wore a hidden camera to catch his former boss in action, Ken Giles, who to this day says he has never advised a client to fake an asylum story.
I never told anybody to pretend to be anything. Never. That's a lie. That is a lie.
But Giles ended up getting 2 years in prison. 30 people total were convicted in Operation Fiction Writer. Those 30 people had helped more than 3,000 immigrants get asylum, and family members got asylum along with them. So altogether, more than 13,000 immigrants can trace their asylum status to those convicted lawyers and associates. The question now is, how many of their stories were fake? Immigration officials turned to Lawrence to answer that question. They said, "We want you to tell us which of your clients lied." They knew he would remember every fake story he wrote.
That's why they call me photocopy memory.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement won't confirm that they're still asking Lawrence for help. So this is his side of the story. And yeah, we know he did lie for a living. But in this case, his story checked out. The government confirmed for us it is undertaking a massive review of client cases from Operation Fiction Writer. And this is where it gets really hard for Lawrence. He was fine with helping the government go after the lawyers, the industry, but he draws the line at helping the government strip asylum from potentially thousands of fellow Chinese immigrants. And so Lawrence has gone into hiding, and he's left it up to the government to review all those cases without him.
Elsa, quite a story. And he just disappeared?
Yeah, I mean, that's why he wouldn't let us use his real name. It's why the interview you heard was all on Skype from a location he wouldn't disclose.
How common is it for the government to do this, to do a massive review of old asylum cases like this?
Well, it's not unusual for the government to go back and take a look at someone's asylum case if their lawyer's been convicted of asylum fraud. But immigration attorneys I've been talking to say this is the largest systematic review of old asylum cases that they have seen in recent history.
Wow. If you are intrigued and you want the longer version of this story, it is all there in the latest episode of the Planet Money podcast. So please go listen. And Elsa, thanks.
You're welcome.